lost by missionary parents. Great man of God. Brother Phil.
Praise the Lord, church. Amen, amen, amen. Well, you're going to have to check this new website out. I was looking at it the other day, and like they said, the sermons are online now. So, hi, Mom. But there's a section on here that says popular sermons. So I'm assuming that the more a sermon is clicked on and listened to, the higher in this list it's going to go. So I'm asking everyone, you don't have to listen to it again, but just go there later today and click on it so I will feel good about myself. I'll be in the most popular sermon until they get more on there. There's only like five on there or something. Anyways, just joking. If you would turn to Matthew 5, verse 48. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. It's so good to be with everyone. I give honor to all those who've had an impact in my life, shaping me, correcting me. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. It reads, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." For a few minutes this morning, I'm going to preach on the subject, the process of perfection. If you put your Bibles down and pray with me, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness, your blessings, your touch in our lives, that we can be here this morning, God. I pray that you would just minister, God. Lord, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Lord, you know exactly what we need to hear. Speak to us, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. So 7 weeks ago, we were looking at having our youth team over for a fellowship, and we had been at my sister's house, and they had cooked some steak and had an incredible marinade, and so we're like, let's do that. We'll treat our youth team, have some steak. And the problem was we had a grill, but it was a used grill that was given to me, gas grill, and needless to say, the last time it was used, it was a huge flame and the siding kind of melted. But anyways, so we're like, let's buy a grill. I never bought a grill in my life, and so we were thinking about it, you know, the Weber, the small Webers, those are cool. We like coal versus gas, and so, but then we're like, you know, we always have people over, and we want to do that more often, and so let's get a big grill. And so we went to Walmart Supercenter off Monona Drive and found the grill. It's the Kingsford, I'm looking at the Spanish side, I can't read Spanish. The Kingsford Deluxe Charcoal Grill. And it was a beauty. It's like huge, it's honking. And actually, just Sister Melissa, why don't you just show the picture of the grill right now? This is my grill. And I'm not a griller. I asked the first time, what would you like your steaks? Medium, medium well. And they all gave me. I'm like, thanks. I have no clue how to make them that way, but felt good about myself. But this is how it looks now, and this is how it looked on the sales floor. But when I said, hey, I want this grill, help me, sir, he took me over to the shelving unit and showed me a box, a huge honking box. And he's like, well, you can take the one on the sales floor, but that wouldn't fit in my little Acura. And so I was like, well, I'll take the box, you know. This would be fun. Hey, come on. So I open the box, and you can't open it with just your finger. I mean, it's like heavy, the heaviest, dutiest cardboard in the world. That's not even a word, but it sounds good. And so, you know, open it up, and it was like, start pulling the pieces out, and it was piece after piece after piece. A frame, and then there was all the screws and nuts and bolts and washers and the grates, a little handle that didn't connect to anything, and then you this big honking thing, the instruction manual. And if you know me at all, I am not the most handy guy, so I have a tool set that my wife bought me for Christmas, and the only tool I've used in it has been the screwdriver before this time. I had a a cordless drill that she bought me for Christmas one year because I was, you know, wanting to be kind of manly, and I've used that maybe once in my life. And so here I was going to tackle this grill that was just a bunch of parts. And I wish it could have just been like that. Boom. But no, I had to put it together, and it took me 3 hours to put this thing together. And but it's a beauty, and it's fun. We'll have you over sometime. But isn't it just like our lives? We're given a lot of pieces, so to speak, when we are born. We're given the piece of what family we're born into, our lot of life, the economic maybe status we're born into. We're given our personality that we have when we're born, our looks, our strengths, our weaknesses. We're like a bunch of parts, but nothing's put together. And then Scripture in Matthew 5:48 says, be perfect. I don't know about you, but when I look at myself, I look at this Scripture and say, there's no way with the parts that I have. Okay, yeah, I was born into a missionary home, and, you know, some people have this perception that, you know, missionary kids or pastor's kids are perfect and all. It's not the case. And I look at myself and, yeah, you know, there's just no way I'm going to be perfect. Perfection feels unattainable. I'd never do things completely like I should. But if you look at the original word for perfect here, the Greek word is teleios, which is translated perfect in Scripture, but it's referring to growing into perfection, growing into maturity, becoming complete, becoming perfect, striving to be that. It is a process. Just like the grill wouldn't instantly just a snap of the fingers become a grill from all these parts. I had to take one step at a time. The same is in our lives. Perfection is a process. You see, we defeat ourselves because we think we have to be a finished product right away. We think, we look at Pastor Grant, for example. Man, what a man of God he is. But you know what? It's been years and years of him taking steps to be where he's at. We're not someone else, and but sometimes we look at that finished product and say, you know, there's no way I'm going to get there. But God never asks you to go from a pile of parts to something whole and complete. We don't even try sometimes because of that. Sometimes because we think it's unattainable, we're just like, you know what, I'm not going to even try. I'm not going to even put forth effort because there's no way I'm going to be that person. I'm never going to be that image that we see in our minds that God wants us to be. But God is only asking you to take a step, and then another step, and then another step, and then another step. We look at 2 Peter 1:5-7, and this scripture, it gives us this sense. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. If you've got faith, add virtue to it. To your virtue, knowledge. To your knowledge, temperance. To your temperance, patience. To your patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. Every little thing that you, every step, there's something else to add on to that. Wherever you're at. But the initial problem is oftentimes we want to do it on our own. We want to say, this instruction manual, I'm a guy. I don't need that. I'm just going to put this thing together myself. I'm smarter than that because I have no skills with tools. So I didn't even think that. I went straight to the manual. But sometimes we do that. We say, you know what? I don't want to take a step. I want to preach now. I want to be super Christian now. I just want to be all over the place. And I'm going to be perfect now. The problem is that when we just do it on our own, what happens? We're not taking the steps that God wants us to take. James 1:14-15 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There's a process the other way as well. When you're doing things on your own, it's like we went to Tennessee for vacation and went to this arts and crafts community, and there was a potter there, and he was making pottery, beautiful pottery, and doing it right in front of you. And, you know, he didn't just take the lump of clay and throw it on that potter's wheel and let it spin and say, okay, go make that pot. That's not how it happens. No, he had to start the shaping process, start the pushing in process, and it was a beautiful process. But on your own, that clay just spins and spins and wildly out of control, and it's a mess. We have to understand that it's a process, first of all, but then we must submit ourselves to that process. If your life is a mess this morning, try something different. Submit yourself to the process of, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Okay, God, what's that step I need to take? Submit yourself to someone who can lead you and guide you and help you make those correct decisions. The one who can mold you and shape you. Maybe your life isn't necessarily a mess, but there's really no fulfillment in your life. There's a feeling of, you know what, life is good, but man, what's the purpose of life? Maybe you've just been doing life on your own way. We can so easily just, I want to shape my life. I want to take the parts that I was given and make my own creation. The problem is, it doesn't happen that way. And you end up with a mess. We understand it's a process, and then we submit to that process. And then all of it is just a matter of saying, you know what, God, what's that step that I need to take? Several scriptures, just going to read here, Philippians 3, 13, 15, Paul speaking to the church of Philippi, saying, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Those who want to be perfect, those who want to become complete, we just need to say, okay, I'm putting everything behind. What's that step? I'm going to press toward that next step. God, what is the next thing you need me to do in my life? 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If you are new in church and just have recently been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you're a newborn babe in Christ. And so I would say, desire that milk of the Word. God, show me what you want me to do in the Word. Show me in your Word. Take a new life class. There's many in the new life classes. That's a first step of, okay, what's my next step, God? And we have teachers who will teach us where the next steps are. But if you're not a newborn, Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, 6, and then chapter 6 and 1 says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are becoming such as of need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. It's okay if you're getting the milk of the word, if you're a newborn babe, but if you've been around for a little bit, you need to start chewing on some meat. You need to start chewing on a little more. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, the same root word of being perfect, of a maturity. There's a meat is taken by those who are maturing, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation. If you have a foundation, don't go back to that. Don't stay on that. A foundation is meant to be built upon. You don't see just blocks of concrete out in the world. You see buildings. Underneath there's the foundation. So if you have no building on your foundation, there's a step you need to take. There's a step we need to take. And so what you have to do, you got to get the tools out. I had to pull out my tools. Another tool I had to make the grill was the manual. Was the step-by-step instructions. I didn't even look how many instructions are in here. It's 25 steps, and I really had to study these instructions. It was horrible. But I had to get the tools out. I couldn't just say, well, I'm going to take the screw and put it in and just do it by hand and it's going to be okay and sturdy. No, it fell apart. It would have fallen apart if I tried to do that. I had to get the manual out. I had to get some help. My wife had to help me because, you know, trying to put on the top and then put the screw in at the same time, that doesn't work very well. So I had to get some assistance in helping me accomplish the next step. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Scripture is, the Bible is given to us as a manual of life. If you don't know what to do next in your life, look in the book. Look in the Bible. Search Scripture. Study Scripture. Say, God, lead me to where you want me to go next. Maybe it's, you know, I'm doing all right in you, but Lord, is there any attitudes I have? Show me in your Scripture that I may grow in you, that I may take another step. We also look at Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. God gives us a pastor so that we can grow. If you have an issue with the pastor, give it to God. Get over it. Let it go, because he's here to help us grow. He's here to help us. And the worst thing we could do is be like, you know what? I'm not going to listen. I'm just going to do it on my own. What happens if you see the potter makes the clay, starts going. Even if he's halfway through, let's go. The clay goes everywhere. And so you may be in a step and making steps, but then you're like, nah, I'm not going to listen to him. Our pastor's here. We need correction. We need reproof. We need guidance in our lives. We don't know everything. We're not all that. We need to submit ourselves to someone in accountability. The young people aren't in here, so I can talk about them. The best young people, I'm not going to mention names, are those who, not the best young people, but the ones that are most successful, who graduate and are still living for God, are ones who submit themselves to leadership. It's not that Sister Fiona and I know everything, because we don't. But those who say, you know what, if you see anything in me, Brother Phil, let me know. Every time I preach out, I talk about Jordan in this fashion. Jordan has, for years, since he was 14, Phil, tell me if you see anything. Man, I've pounded the boy. And now he's a young man, and it's just, the guy's incredible. Why? He's still got a lot of work. But he's still, just recently, Phil, if you see anything, let me know. Okay, come on, let's talk. But it's such a great feeling versus those who, don't tell me what to do. What? It wasn't me, it wasn't, you know, and all it is excuses. It's so burdensome when it's like, you're just trying to help them. And they just like, I don't want to hear it. And they never get past that step. They have to face that step over and over again because they won't accept the change in their life they may have to take. We need our pastors. We need the teachers in our lives. We need to get the tools out to find out that next step. But sometimes we may get the step that we need to take. Sometimes we hear, we see what that step is, but we don't necessarily like that step. We must be willing to make the next step. James 1, 17, 22 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Skipping down a little bit, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Listen for the step. Find out what the step is. Slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So be quick to hear, lay aside that stuff. But then it says, be ye doers of the word. See, we can hear what God has to say. We can hear the preacher preach. We can see, like, you know, I got to take a step, but then, okay, cool. There's some change in my life I have to make, but I'm not willing to make it. We have to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves, because we walk away and we can start to think, you know what, I'm okay. What I heard from the Lord, I really don't need to change. One man in the scripture who didn't want to change, in Matthew 19, a rich young ruler says, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Rich ruler said, Which ones? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor thy mother and thy father. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And this guy was a great guy. He said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? God, I've done all this. I made a lot of steps in my life. I'm a good person. But God, I want, what else do I have to do?" And Jesus said unto him, "If thou be perfect, if you want to be that complete person, go and sell that thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." And a sad scripture, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. God may not ask you to sell everything that you have. That was this young man's next step he needed to take. But what's the step in your life that God is calling you to take? What's the next step in my life that he wants me to take? We need to be willing, because we may walk away and say, "God, I can't give that up. God, I walk away. I can't do that, God. I can't make that extra commitment," whatever it may be. That next step may involve change. That's why it may be hard to make. Some want the move of God. They want to feel God like we felt him this morning. They want to have that emotional high to feel the blessings of the Lord, which he does pour out liberally. We want to have that experience with God, but we don't want to change. A common phrase today is, "Come as you are, church." And I believe that with all my heart. Whatever lot of life you are in, come to church. But so many churches are, "Come as you are, leave as you are." And that's not what the scripture says. It says, "Come as you are," and hey, there might be some things you need to change. And you might be here this morning, thank God you're here, but God may be prompting your heart to, you've got to make some steps here. That next step may involve change. With a mighty move of God, I believe, comes a call for that next step in your life. And a move of God not followed by growth in our lives, in my opinion, is an incomplete God moment. God wants, through his blessings, us to make some extra steps. It's like the 10 lepers who were healed of the Lord. Only one went back to God and was made complete. The other 9 were like, "Woo, we got healed, yeah, come on now." But they never went back to Jesus. They never followed Jesus. Praise God for those blessings. But come back to him and say, "Okay, God, what's next? What do I got to do next, God? Man, you bless me, but I want more. I want to do something else for you." The next step may not make sense. We may not understand what God is asking us to do. It may not line up with the path that we see him taking for us, or that we see for our lives. And we have everything aligned in our minds. God has led us, and we're in the will of God, and we see a certain path that, man, God is taking me down this road. Maybe he throws you curveball. Some of these things that in this grill, it's like, why am I doing this first? Why am I doing, it didn't make sense. Why the left side or the right side panel first? And then when I got down to a couple other steps after I did it, oh, that's why. It all made sense now. But in the moment, it didn't make sense. See, we don't see, in this manual, I can see all the steps ahead of me. And so if I had a question, I can look ahead and say, oh, That's why. Okay, that makes sense. But unlike these instructions, we can't see 6 months down the road. We can't see why God is saying, take this step now. This is the next step you need to take. The Bible says, His word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It doesn't say He's, a floodlight showing you the whole where you're going, the twists and turns. He just says, hey, you can see this far. Take that step. Take that step. Trust me. Trust me. One step at a time is hard because our human nature just wants to rush ahead. We want to rush to be that complete picture or to get where He's leading us. In the grill, there's two sides of it where you set your stuff down, and I just rushed because I'm like, sweet, two sides are the same. I'm going to put them together. Got the first one on and then started doing the second one and realized, wait a minute, I did this wrong. I didn't look at the instructions for that next step. And there's a reason why their two sides are different. And so I had to go take off that first one, put the right one on so that the second one would fit correctly. And that's what can happen in our lives. We have to, we may rush ahead, but God says, oh, okay, go for it. You'll be coming back to this place again. I challenge young people when they get annoyed with a certain type of personality. Oh, this person just annoys me. It's like, well, God is trying to teach you how to handle that kind of personality, how to live life with that kind of personality. And they're like, I'm just going to, just ignore them. And I'm just like, go ahead. There's going to be another person just like that in your life until you learn how to work with that kind of personality or that kind of person. Go ahead. Ignore it. You'll be back around. And it's so true. Hallelujah. Musicians could come. Sometimes we feel like if we start, there's just way too much to get to perfection. What about unfinished products or projects? Many of us have started something that we never finished. But God says in His word, being confident of this very thing, that he that have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you'd stand with me, he's not going to leave you halfway through that process. So where are you this morning? Have you even made a first step toward God? What is He beckoning you to do? Maybe it's you just got situations in your life going on and you don't know what to do. You've tried and tried and tried. And I would encourage you to take a step right up here in the front. A minister will talk with you, pray with you, help you work through situations and pray with you about them. Well, maybe you've never committed your life to the Lord. Maybe you've never said, God, I want to do things your way. Maybe your life's a mess. Maybe your life is not a mess, but unfulfilled. And God, why am I on this earth? I'd encourage you to come to the right side up here and begin to talk to the Lord. And people, again, will pray with you because, there it may be a sin issue in your life that God is saying, hey, we got to get this sin out of the way. That's your first step. And so we want you to come and repent. You've never been filled with the Holy Ghost this morning. That's God living inside of you, directing you, guiding you. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost this morning. That could be your first step. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, we have a baptismal tank behind this wall, and maybe that's the step He's calling you to make. Maybe if you've been in church for a month, a year, maybe it's been 5 years, 10 years. We all never reach perfection until we go up yonder. What's that step that maybe you've been resistant to change because, hey, I'm comfortable in the ministry I'm at and what I do at church. I've been here for years. What's that change that He's calling you to make? I want to encourage you again to come up here to this altar area up front. If you're sick in your body this morning, He can heal you. I encourage you to come on the left side. If you have a situation, come to the front. If you need to make a change, a step towards salvation, come up to the right. Won't you come at this time as they sing?